Hi, this is Glenn. Who's on the phone?
This is Cynthia Lummis.
Hi, Cynthia. I'm glad you called in today. I know you're busy up there. Good to hear from you. By the way, since Cynthia's on the phone, if anyone wants to talk to your representative in the House of Representatives of Washington, D.C., she's on the phone right now. Oh, and the lines are lighting up. let's just go to the calls, okay?
Great.
Okay. News Talk 1270. This is Glenn. What you got?
I got a couple of things. I agree with the lady that just called in.
Yeah.
If the council people want a raise, they should have considered that before they took the job.
Right.
And the mayor, they shouldn't have taken the job to start with. It should be kept where it's at. And the other thing is, there was a great article in the News Record last night from someone that wrote into the editor, and I guess I never thought about it, but the original 1% sales tax, why isn't this being used to help fund this project? Why do we have to have an additional tax?
They should have thought of it in advance before they started the project. You're right.
Yes, sir. They definitely should have.
Thanks for calling. Mrs. Lummis, I was congratulations, by the way, on the appeal of Obamacare in the House.
Thank you. We're now working on legislation to replace it.
Well, now, a caller called in the other day with a great idea. And I would like you to kind of kick this idea around. You know, Mr. Bonner, if you get a chance to talk to him from time to time?
I do.
Okay, here's what you do. Remember the House passed Obamacare, and then since it was kind of iffy whether the final vote in the Senate was going to make it, you know, it was going to get passed or not, Nancy Pelosi, who I call the Wicked Witch of the West, I'm allowed to do that. You have to have decorum. I don't need it. she deemed it passed in the Senate. Now, I call that unconstitutional, and then it went to the president. There was no final vote in the. So why don't we do the same thing with this Obamacare repeal? Well, Harry Reid doesn't need to have this, just like he didn't need to have Obamacare. Just go ahead and have Bonnier deem it passed, and we send it to the president.
Well, it's a great suggestion.
Yeah. It's tempting, isn't it? Yeah.
What's good for the goose is not good for the gander in Washington.
I would I would just love to see the expression on Harry Reid's face and on Nancy Pelosi's face if you guys were actually try that. So now you've got your own bill. You're trying to come up with your own solutions. Are these market-based solutions that the Republicans are coming up with?
They are. It includes things like being allowed to buy insurance across state lines.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah.
And having associations be able to form to purchase health insurance.
Okay.
It, of course, completely eliminates the mandate on individuals that as a condition of being an American, you have to buy a product, health
right.
insurance. And it provides other more patient-centered, keeps the patient and the doctor in the driver's seat
right.
with regard to health care decisions. So that's our focus.
Okay. I especially like the idea of across state lines because something I've been ranting and raving about for a while. Every time I turn on the television, there is a commercial, a cell phone commercial, and they're constantly trying to outdo each other. Or there's an auto insurance commercial, and they're constantly trying to outdo each other. And, of course, you can buy those things across state lines. And so they have to reduce their price and improve their quality in order to get that done. Well, if I can go ahead and buy health insurance from Maine, let's say, then those insurance companies in Wyoming have to compete with that. And so obviously the price would go down and the service would go up.
And, you know, I found that to be exactly the case when I was state treasurer. States were allowed, when I was the state treasurer, to pass college savings plans legislation, and our Wyoming legislature did. And we contracted, as the state of Wyoming, with a national firm, Merrill Lynch, to run our college savings plan. We didn't have the critical mass in Wyoming to make that plan financially successful, and it wasn't as good as some other state plans. So we joined with Colorado to create a larger plan that ended up providing more options, lower fees, better net returns, and it worked better. We worked across state lines with our neighbor in Colorado to come up with a better plan that served Wyoming people better. And that's what we would be able to do if we were allowed to buy insurance across state lines.
Well, talking with Cynthia Lummis, your representative in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and, of course, 682-1270 is the phone number if you have any questions for her. What do you think the odds really are? Because Harry Reid is saying in the Senate, you know, to get this repeal into the Senate, he said pretty much forget it. Is there any options, any maneuvers?
You'd have to ask Mike Enzi and John Barrasso.
Okay.
Senate rules are such a mystery to me. They have a very different, more complex rule book
right.
than the House does. And, of course, the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, says, yes, we're going to find a way to get a vote on this. Harry Reid says, no way. So we'll see who outmaneuvers who on that one.
Okay, let's talk deficit reduction for just a bit. Again, the Republicans coming up with their own plan. So what are you guys going to lay out on the table to reduce the deficit?
Well, for starters, we're going to go back to 2008 spending levels for the remainder of this fiscal year. We're operating right now under the 2009 budget, because you'll recall the House did not pass a budget under the Democrats in 2010. So right now we're operating under something called a continuing resolution, which just means the same amounts as the year before. But those same amounts the year before were enormously inflated, including a 39% one-year increase in the Environmental Protection Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using that money to run amok and kill jobs and overregulate business. So we're going to try for the remainder of this fiscal year, which ends September 30th, to return to 2008 spending levels. And then when we start our first Republican budget coming out of the House and going to the Senate for the fiscal year that starts on October 1st, cutting back even further.
And by the way, I want my incandescent light bulb back.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I'm co-sponsoring that, Bill.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. Let me run to a call real quick. News Talk 1270, this is Glenn. Who's on the phone?
Hi, Glenn. Before I lose cell service.
Okay. Well, I think you've already lost cell service. Okay, he was out there in the fields, and he'll try again. I'm glad you're sponsoring, because that light bulb thing is, it's been driving me crazy. Ever since that was passed. It was a Republican who did it, too.
Fred Upton. And Fred has said, Fred is now the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. And he said when he was vying for chairman, that he will revisit that issue,
okay.
that he realizes that it went too far. So,
okay,
and Joe Barton, who is the former ranking member of Energy and Commerce, is sponsoring the bill. So I'm very confident that that bill will hit the floor of the House.
Okay, we're coming close on the debt ceiling here. What happens?
Yeah, we're going to have to increase the debt ceiling, and I know that is a real teeth gnasher it is for Americans.
Well,
it is for me.
Explain to people, because I'll get into the second half, but let's split this into two parts. First off, why do you have to? Can you just simply not do it? Why do you have to increase the debt ceiling?
You know, the Democrats ran amok during the last 2 years spending money we didn't have.
Right.
And it's a little bit like if your kids went out with your credit card and ran it up, you'd do two things. You'd pay the bill and you'd cut up the credit card.
Right.
So we need to pay the bill that the Democrats ran up in the last 2 years and then cut up the credit card. And paying the bill means raising the debt ceiling. Cutting up the credit card means cutting spending, passing balanced budget bills, and taking the means to set the screws down on this unlimited spending machine that the former majority party thought the American people would fund.
Okay, so that gets into, you're already into part two of the question. And in order to pass a bill to increase the debt ceiling, are you going to, at the same time, try to get cuts put in there or something to reduce spending?
And I have told the leadership at a meeting this week, the Republican leadership, that I just can't support an increase in the debt ceiling unless it's tied to spending cuts means to more permanently control our spending problem. Paul Ryan, who is the chairman of the Budget Committee, may also have this whole budget framework in a position where we could attach that to the debt ceiling increase.
Right.
And that would go a long way towards helping us head in the right direction.
By the way, I'm a big fan of Paul Ryan. I want an autographed picture at some point, if you can manage it.
Hey, I can. That guy, I was on the Budget Committee in the last term.
Yeah.
And I'm a co-sponsor of American Roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, in my opinion, the star
this
Congress.
I do want to see him run for president at some point. You can be his vice presidential candidate if you want. And no, my favorite time, remember, of course, the Blair Witch Project. I'm sorry, House Project.
Yeah.
When he basically handed it to the president, telling him, I mean, you know, with Obamacare next to him, he told him, the president, to his face, why the bill would cost us money. And he went through details. I mean, step by step, you double counted here. The president was not happy with him. And I was really pleased to see it.
Well, the good thing was Paul Ryan was on the deficit commission, the debt commission, the Erskine Bowles, Al Simpson thing.
Yeah.
And he came up with some absolutely fabulous ideas. Alice Rivlin, who was Bill Clinton's budget director, and Paul kind of formed a working relationship, mm-hmm. which is fabulous. And I think you're going to see some good stuff come out of the fact that Paul Ryan was on that deficit and debt commission. And the president has had to take notice. The only person in Washington who had a plan.
Yeah.
And to this day, the only person in Congress who has a plan is Paul Ryan. And it's a great plan because it takes every aspect of overspending, including our entitlement programs, and sets us on a path to a balanced budget. And it's a very slow glide. It takes a long time because he's doing it carefully over time and doing it without raising taxes.
Talking with Cynthia Lummis, your representative and House of Representatives. All right, let me get to these calls. We've got about 4 minutes left. News Talk 1270, this is Glenn. What you got?
Hi, Glenn. I just wanted to ask Congresswoman Lummis about their plans for any kind of legal reforms and also if they have any plans to fix these health savings accounts.
Okay, what do you think?
On legal reform, I actually prefer that tort reform occur at the state level. However, if we're going to demand that the American people buy insurance and we're going to take the IRS to them if they refuse, then for crying out loud, we're going to have to do tort reform at the federal level. You can't do one without the other.
Okay, next call. News Talk 1270. Oh, lost that one. News Talk 1270. This is Glenn. Who's on the phone?
Morning, Glenn. This is Brian.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Ms. Lummis, what are we doing as with the new House that we have now on demanding that no more earmarks are being put on any of these bills?
There will be no earmarks on any of these bills. The Republicans in the House and the Senate have taken that pledge, and, of course, John Boehner is the lead on that, our new speaker. In his 20 years in Congress, he's never taken an earmark, ever. And so that's going to be strictly enforced, and so you're not going to see him for at least 2 years.
Okay.
Back to that health savings account question.
Okay.
I'm co-sponsoring a bill that is being sponsored by Eric Paulson, a member of Congress from Minnesota, who is taking the lid off health savings accounts, allowing for their continued deductibility and continuing to allow you to use over-the-counter medications as deductible in your health savings account. As you know, the Democrats took that away from us. So if you have a health savings account, they want to make it so if you're buying, you know, aspirin, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, cold medicine, you can't deduct it, and that's ridiculous.
Okay, next call. News Talk 1270. This is Glenn. Who's on the phone?
This is Larry. How you doing?
Good. What you got?
Actually, it's not a question. I just want to tell the representative to continue to do what she's been doing. Don't let the Democrats, you know, hoodwink her, which I'm sure they can't or won't, into sitting next to them because they're going to be nice.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Okay, I still have a full board of calls, but we're running out of time. Got about a minute left here, so... Cynthia, as always, thanks for calling in. Is there anything else we needed to cover before you go?
You know, I thank the caller. It always helps to hear from people in Wyoming, and I would say this. If you have good ideas about how we can cut spending, specific ideas, please email me. If you have good examples of where government overreach or overregulation is preventing a business from being able to grow or is working an injustice in this difficult economy, please let me know, because part of the Republicans taking over the House means we're going to have more oversight hearings, shining more light on how this administration has overreached.
Okay. You know, the phone line's always open for you anytime you want to call in. I always appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Okay. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for spending time with us. 8:59. I know we had a full board of calls going. I'm sorry, folks. We're just running out of time.